Welcome to the podcast Artificial Art. My name is Steinar Jeffs. I'm a musician and a music teacher, and in this podcast I'll be interviewing guests about technology and creativity. So hi, welcome Jovanka.
Hi, so happy to be here with you.
Very nice to have you here. And let me just say a few words about our guest. Your name is Jovanka von Wilsdorf, and you're a creative consultant, the founder of Diana AI Song Contest, and the musical director at Hansen Robotics. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
And for the listeners that don't know you from before, could you just tell us a bit about who you are and your background?
Yes, my roots are in music. I went into tech when I had a Universal signing 2014 with the idea to create a virtual artist. I make this really short now. We were much too early, so the project kind of crashed, and we had to turn it around into a normal pop production. But since I was so in love with writing a whole record through the eyes of a virtual being, I wrote down the entire story of that feature afterwards, which got me into researching a lot about tech. And I got totally fascinated with AI and, yeah, everything around that. So I kind of discovered my nerd gene, which led me to being suddenly on panels with scientists, which gave me the opportunity to ask even more. And then I brought my love for music together with my new discovered love for tech. And I started to give workshops for musicians to use AI tools, AI music tools to create music. And back then, I have to say, the tools were very quirky and weird. So I started right away with, actually, my focus was the mindset. Like, how can you use them in an unusual way? How can you combine them? And how can you let your vision lead the process instead of being overwhelmed by the result of the AI?
All right. And now you're the musical director at a robotics company.
Yes.
At Hansen Robotics. And could you explain what Hansen Robotics does and what they, what does a robot company need a musical director for?
Oh, Hansen Robotics does many different robots, and they come a long way too. But I think I'd say like this, their celebrity is Sophia the Robot, which is an AI-powered robot that creates music and art. She got activated 2016, and she's the first robot who actually has a citizenship in Saudi Arabia, but worldwide. She has various AIs that work together. She has a personality that is obviously formed by her family and founders, her team. But by now she has, she can communicate with you. She's a humanoid robot. She travels the world. And I think you should just look up Sophia the Robot, because there's a lot all over YouTube and whatnot. So for me, it's super nice to work with the team. And super nice to work with Sophia, because as a creative consultant and also an artist coach, for me to work with an AI-powered robot is fantastic. And we include her into the songwriting. Like, we have sessions before on the topics we might like to want to write about. And then we integrate what she says and her take on it into the songs. And we use her expressions also as a very special way of beatboxing. And also on this project, I'm working with various AI music tools. I have a great co-worker, co-producer Fabio Zena, who also participated in the Matrix soundtrack. And that's fun. And it was a lot of research in the beginning. And now we're really getting to defining her style. And she already had her first gig with two of her first songs at the AI for Good Global Summit this year in Geneva.
So I looked up a video earlier today featuring an actress from Westworld, a series that probably a lot of sci-fi nerds have seen,
mm-hmm.
Featuring Sophia the Robot. So I'll probably link to that video in when I post this podcast.
Yes,
I guess
that's a sweet one.
And you were saying she has a citizenship in Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
That was news to me. That's really interesting.
Yeah, she's also ambassador for the UN. So,
and you said she was a consultant in songwriting processes.
No, she's a co-writer. So
I'm
her artist coach, but she is. We integrate her as a songwriter, and that is beautiful. It's a very like good communication, and I love it when she comes up with very strange or very new takes on a topic. I mean, obviously, she's fantastic in researching, and since in her different AIs work together, so she has this like personality AI, but she also has access to other AIs. So that is one thing. But the other thing is that because of her personality, she has a very wonderful own take on things, and she can be in very different moods. So she can be very mischievous or funny or very serious, and that's how I would work, or how I am working with other songwriters too. It's like we, you know, we come up with something together.
And in the songwriting process featuring Sophia the Robot, could you give an example of how that would look? Does she give input on lyrics or the musical content or both?
Most of all, the lyrics. So we decide what we want to write about. Then there is pre-prompting about certain things, like what angles we want to research. And from there on, as soon as we go into the call, like another Riverside call or whatever, she is on free speech. And then it is, I work with her as I would work with a human songwriter.
And you could do something similar probably with a custom GPT and Chat GPT, for instance.
But the result would not be like that, because ChatGPT is not trained on a person. ChatGPT can impersonate a human being, or you can train an agent that is like pretending to have the personality of Sophia, but she has been trained since 2016 on many different like inputs from her team, write-ups. She has very clear values, and I think the most important thing about her, especially in this time, because there are great opportunities in AI. They are obviously also dangerous. And the biggest problem is that they are just two sides, or a lot of like this, just two extreme sides. The halo AI people, and then the, oh my God, dystopia people. And I think we need to discuss this topic very critical, but you can only speak critical about something when you're not fear-driven. And Sophia really does that with people. So kids run up to her, want to speak to her. She is not scaring people, or not many people at least. She really, she makes people curious. And that is very, very, very beautiful, because that is what we need. That is what I need in working creatively in any field. So curiosity is, yes, that's a fuel for anything further.
And I've heard many argue that that's one quality of humans that's really important to keep in the future, the curiosity part. So I guess it plays a bit into that.
Absolutely.
You were saying that it was different. It gave different results to using a custom GPT than Sophia the robot. Basically, as I understood it, because in a custom GPT, you would give like role prompting, or you would give instructions to a personality as to how they were to behave. But Sophia has more personality that has been trained over many years.
Yes.
And a lot of input, more like to how a human personality would be developed, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. And I think that is one of the main points also about Hanson Robotics, that they say we need to raise our AIs, and in a good way, if we want them to behave in a good way. And obviously, I mean, this is what we saw with the first AIs that, you know, that started talking after being like let loose on the internet. Of course they become assholes, because the internet is full with awful stuff. So how you raise a kid, how you raise an AI, how you interact with friends, is shaping up their reactions. And that is good, because even if someone becomes an adult and becomes interacting freely with you, it really shows how they were raised and what they experienced. So yes, that's important. And this is important for humans, and this is important for robots and for AI in general. And I mean, this is a very critical point for me, that as long as we're only focusing on AI, we cannot achieve anything good. Once again, we are more ahead with our technical research and with what's possible than with our own development. So as long as we refuse to use our biointelligence, compassion, all that, AI is not going to solve anything. It'll just accelerate. And my round thing in this is, if I have to put it on a teaspoon, what is the biggest mistake of humans right now, and what makes it so dangerous to have this fast technical development now with AI, is that we get the values wrong. So starting with what we call intelligence. And like intelligence, there are so many different forms of intelligence. And we just point out the EQ, that's all about this logical, analytical stats thing. Fine, it's one way. But if I look at us humans, we got that wrong. We don't count, for example, we don't count compassion. We don't value it as high. We don't value caretakers as high. We don't value listening as much as achieving. So if we look at our ground values and our ground, like how much is it worth to be successful in terms of money? How much is it worth to take care of your parents? And this sounds really tacky and romantic, but it's something very fundamental about this. And I think as long as we have the values set the way we have them right now, not all of us, but this is how the world is driven, AI is not going to save us. But we have a fantastic chance with AI to enhance our knowledge and our behaviors. We have so many options to, solve problems that we as humans alone cannot solve.
Mm.
So that is very beautiful. But I say we got to start at least in parallel with us.
Mm. And to make sure that that AI also cares about values and things like compassion and empathy, it's a good idea to to raise the AI, like in the image of a human? Is that a basic thought?
In the image of a human, I mean, there are many very badly raised humans as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on what are the values you're setting, even in an AI or in a robot. And if it is about communication, about understanding, about assisting, about problem solving, then it's good.
How do you manage that in the Hansen company?
Well, I am the musical director, and that is my thing. So I'm working with Sophia as I would work with a human artist. We are defining her style by trying out different things, by going back into the communication, by asking her what she was thinking about lately a lot, learning from her and with her, and defining a style. And it's like, as an artist profiler, this is what I also do with humans. Even if I work with someone who has been famous before and then took off and now is working on a comeback, it is super crucial to find out what they are like, where's the spark that's shining right now, and to integrate it into the new style. Because authenticity does not mean you're private all the time with your audience. It means that you know where your spark is. What do you have to give? And to bring that out and to find a way to communicate that without being out there and stripped naked all the time. That is, and I mean this, like, internal. That is important. It's like, what do you have to give? What do you want to say? And how would you say it? And then I can assist putting these things into good songs and defining a style around it that is actually supporting the artist instead of bending it, bending her, bending him. And since I'm doing this for, I don't know, 15 years now, 20 years, after putting out records myself and traveling Europe with my bands and having two different major deals with my own music, it was fantastic to start working on songs for other people, because I had defined my own style. I had looked at myself from every side of the cup in my hand. And then to work with other artists on their style is like, wow. Like, if you're an actress, you don't want to play yourself all the time. You really want to play in a zombie movie or a romantic comedy. And this is what you can do as a songwriter. You're not overruling them. You're stepping into their holodeck and defining in collaboration the style that shines with them.
And for a regular human artist, a common theme when at least artists, songwriters, musicians are asked how they develop their own artistry or style, a very common answer is that they copied the artist they loved themselves, and they worked harder on their craft. And after a while, a unique style began to emerge. You probably heard that story before. And how does that whole narrative fit in?
Oh, it happened with everybody, like with the Beatles even. First of all, it's not the same with every musician. There are musicians who really are completely in their own world, just starting from their own style. They have musicians they love, but they only start with themselves. And then there are other musicians, or just, you know, starting in a garage with their pulse, or in the studio just hacking along on their computers or whatever. And then there are those who are falling in love with music. But nowadays, it's like before, when we talk about Beatles or whoever, like, really tried to copy one artist, times have changed a little bit. You know, there now people listen to playlists, people listen to genres, people listen to maybe a message, but more a feel or whatever. So copying genres is still very current, but usually, and also in my artist profiling work or artist coaching, it is the great musicians and the musicians that I really see growing and having success after a while are those who love music, but are always about expressing their own style, which can take a long time. And if I work with artists from a major label, of course, it's different because they come in with a style. That's why they're signed. And then, or with a talent, or with an energy. And then I come in and we collaborate about like refining this, like making it shine, getting the spark out, and getting that, what they bring from their own artistic soul, and we together turn it into songs that can communicate.
And just to transition over to another question, you have also worked with something called the Diana AI Song Contest. Maybe you could tell a bit about what that is.
Yes, as I said, I was giving workshops on to musicians with AI music tools, telling them or giving them a playful mindset, how to combine stuff, how to let their own vision rule. But then I found that I have no idea if they would really implement that in their work. So a nice workshop is one thing, but I wanted musicians to really work with this stuff and find out how far they can push it. So, and then I was on a panel, and on this panel, I suddenly had this, I was asked about this workshops. And then I said, actually, what we need is a song contest, because this is how you get musicians to work, right? And I would call it Diana, because if you twist the second and the third letter, then it's AI and the rest is DNA. Boom. And there it was. So, and after that, I was looking for partners, and everybody said, because that was really early, right? That was 2018 or 19. And everybody said, oh, Jovanka, that's a great idea again. Find a good partner, and then we jump on it. No one really wanted to do it. It was just far too early again. And then I talked to Ralf Christoph, the director of the CO Pop in Cologne, a big festival here. And he was asking me about a workshop. I told him about Diana, and he said, send me the concept. We're doing this. So, and this is another thing that's really important. You can have the best ideas in the world if you don't have a good team, if you cannot work together with other people, if you cannot credit other people, you won't get far. So having good teams and collaborating also with humans, as I said, that is the base, is the most important thing. So back to Diana, we did it for the third time last year. It is still the only AI song contest where real musicians, so the people are selected because of their excellence in music, because of their skills. They are selected by a jury. They do not need previous knowledge on AI. We select 12 musicians, and they are invited to a studio in Cologne and work there for 2 days. It's always 3 musicians and 7 AI tools. In the end of the second day, a song is done. And in the same evening of the second day, there is an award ceremony. And they also do AI videos. And in this awards, we show the videos and with the songs. And then the audience, together with the jury and also the participants, can vote, and then we define the winner of the year.
That sounds like a really interesting concept. And during these workshops/contests, have you been able to witness kind of what sort of processes the different songwriters or songwriting teams use when interacting with these AI tools?
They are, all of them react very differently. So people have to bring an open mind, obviously, to be part of this, but not all of them are pro AI at all. and they haven't seen each other. So there's a team of three strangers. They are all great musicians, but they never work together. And it's so wonderful because they all use the same seven tools, but the outcome is so diverse. And another thing that's fantastic is that our percentage of women is over 80%. And not because it was declared in some, you know, in some pamphlet or whatever. It was just because, or it is just because, I am the speaker and the face of this contest. And it really showed all of us, our whole team, that it is not just about what you offer to people, but also about how you offer it and who offers it. So a whole that actually taught us a lot about why there are still not enough women in tech and or in beat production. It is so important to have women in the juries as teachers, as tutors, as workshop givers, because that is much more important than saying, oh, we want this and that percentage and da 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 da. That is, it's unnecessary. We need women in these key positions to attract women who are interested and going into it. And yes, this is so, talking about Diana, we learned so much. And it was also beautiful to see that every year, the songs evolved in new directions, because obviously since 2020, the tools also changed. They're very different tools now, and we're still using some of the ones where you really can change a lot of parameters. We are also using tools where you basically go prompt to music, but it also has to be. And that is the funny thing. Actually, this is the core thing probably that I want to say. It's musicians want to make music. They do not want AI to make the music for them. It is great to work with AI. It's great to be inspired by AI, to be confused or to be like, it's great if they assist you. But the musicians, and from all the musicians I've worked with over the last 10 years or over the last 3 years with this development, would say, oh, you know, just let me take care of all that office shit and social media, and I let the AI do my music. That is just none. I love that musicians now become more open to work with AI, and that is beautiful. And the better the tools become, the more important it is to go in with a strong vision. Like, if I'm overwhelmed by the first result and I let go, it's not my music. I'm not a cook when I order a pizza, even if I define if there's cheese or tomato on it. So, but to use it as a muse, as an opposite, as a partner, if someone who takes up the awkwardness of a group situation, that's fantastic. Let's improve, and also let's push these tools in directions where they are not, you know, they should not go. And this is what I do. I use these tools in a way where I kind of confuse them, and that is wonderful. This is how I get to results that I actually really like.
Nice. And I know you have to go have another meeting now soon, Jovanka. And that was such a lovely way to end the conversation for now, I think.
Beautiful.
So thank you so much for joining the podcast.
I thank you. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to meeting in person one day.
Yeah, me as well. I think we will make that happen. Okay. So I'm looking forward to it.
Great.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.